Bush. Are you still there, Judy?
Yes, I am. I'm Judy Bush. I work with Alaska Legal Services. I have for the last 11 years here in Fairbanks, and I'm our address is 763 7th Avenue. I was computing, and I hope my math is correct. We pay right now the current AFTC payment for a family of four. This would be a parent with three children, I guess, because I'm going by the standards of just one adult in the household. What we're paying now is only 70% of poverty. If you roll that back to the 1991 figures, I figure we're going to be paying an AFTC family of four 60% of poverty. Then when you don't give the cost of living increase next January, but the poverty level will obviously increase, it's going to slide further back. And it's, where will it go? 50%, 40% of poverty? What is the bottom of the safety net? It seems that even 70% of poverty, based on all the testimony we've heard today, isn't really making it for people, except maybe those who are lucky enough, the few that are in public housing or subsidized housing and don't have to pay market rent are maybe making ends meet. But I know from my clients, those who are not in public housing cannot make it on what the AFDC levels are now. So people go together to share housing. They live in crowded circumstances. They stay longer in shelters while they're on waiting lists for public housing because they can't afford on the grants that are being paid today to live independently in our communities. I have the same data that May Godozik had, that the 65% to 7% of families on AFDC stay on less than 2 years. This is a transitional program for the majority of people who use AFDC. And it has to be a time when they can gather their wits about them, get into training, and move on into the community. If it's a crisis every month, if it's an eviction, if it's living in a homeless shelter, they're not going to move forward. 11% of the families, this is the same data that Ms. Godozik was using, I had got from the Public Assistance Office in Juneau. 11% of the families apparently have been on AFDC for more than 60 months. And maybe we need to focus on the families that are staying on for a really long time and find out the best ways to help them. But I don't think cutting the grants back is going to do the job. The second thing I wanted to say about the data about the 1990 census that shocked me, and it also shocked Ms. Godozik, is that 41% of female-headed households with children under five live below the poverty level in Fairbanks. Those are the families we're talking about who are on AFDC. They live below the poverty level because AFDC pays below the poverty level. Those are our very young children, and they're being raised in inadequate circumstances, and we're going to pay the price later on. It's going to be a lot more expensive for us. I'd like to make a few comments about the Adult Public Assistance Program. Also, the interim assistance, which is paid now to people who are waiting to go through the long, complicated disability hearing process that Social Security administers, they receive now $280 a month from the state. None of my clients can make it on $280 a month. You simply cannot pay rent and live and buy food and survive on $280 a month. They go in the hole. Friends loan money or provide free housing or say, pay me back when you get your benefits. And when they get their retroactive checks, that's where a lot of the money goes. And it's for the state to say, number one, they're not going to pay retroactive adult public assistance benefits. And even the federal government pays the benefits retroactive once the disability is established. But for the state to take the position that no one's going to get retroactive benefits and the $280 a month you get, you have to pay back, is pretty shocking. Disabled people who go through that process are so demoralized. They have nothing. And most of them are used to maybe working, and they've been injured, and there's no workers' comp, there's no unemployment, they've reached the bottom of the barrel, and they're waiting for their Social Security benefits, and it's not their fault that it takes up to a year or a year and a half to get through that appeal process to be found disabled. Those are my comments.
Thank you, Judy. We have one more from Fairbanks, Joan Marie Ames. Are you still there, Joan Marie?
Yes, ma'am, I am.
ahead, please, Joan.
One of the people that she was just speaking about, I'm disabled, and a Section 8, I'm waiting for some assistance from SSI. I'm living in Park West Apartments, owned by Bellevue. Owners are in Bellevue, Washington, NPM Incorporated. They rent. Now, I was really surprised in sitting here today listening to the rent over the state of Alaska. And in one of our lowest income, which is Fairbanks area, one bedroom, which I reside in, is $939. I am paying $243 out of $395. You and everyone else is making up the difference. By taxes, I'm paying some more of my own, too. This is a very out-of-line rent, but that's not the point today. The point is, if you take what little we have, and there are no emergency waiting in Fairbanks, you cannot find an apartment anywhere. What will we do? We'll go to the food line. We'll go to St. Francis Shelter. We'll go to Salvation Army. We'll do something. But why? We need the help. Please go against this bill, 67.
Thank you, Joan. Sherry Gold, did you want to testify? We have one last testifier, I believe.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, again, my name is Sherry Gold. I'm representing the Alaska Women's Lobby and KidPAC in opposition to House Bill 67. For all the reasons that you've just heard, and I'm not going to reiterate those reasons, but I am going to draw your attention to the savings that are to be had by passing this legislation, and to remind you and ask you to look carefully at the fiscal notes and understand that on the AFDC program, half of those savings are federal dollars that we are saying no thank you to, because half of those savings are federal and half of them are general fund. So we're saying in the name of that child, you can keep your $26, and we'll save our $26, and this child will do without $53. Also, I'd like to ask you to consider that the real answer here is in trying to reduce the caseloads for AFDC, and I think everybody here, although they're opposing the bill, wants to see that. We want to see Alaskan people support themselves and be able to work and not be on public assistance. And I think we should look at some of the ways that we can do that. If you do move forward with this bill, you should speak to your caucuses about moving some of that savings into the jobs program, because right now the jobs program is federally mandated to target people who are on long-term public assistance or at risk of being long-term. We need to commit more state dollars into that program so that we can get people who have only been on the program for a month or two and have a real possibility of becoming job ready out back into the workforce. And for each of those people we move off, we have a very large savings for all those months that they won't be on the program. And another area that was brought up, and I just want to bring your attention to it again, is the area of child support, which is not in the Department of Health and Social Services budget, but in the Department of Revenue. And to recognize that right now there's over $157 million in child support arrearages. And for each person, if you employ one more child support enforcement officer, you can bring in $350,000 into the state, much of which goes to offset the public assistance. So we have to, you know, there's been a lot of talk about personal responsibility. These children have parents who are not meeting their personal responsibilities, and that would help them and try to see them out of poverty. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sherry. Let me just ask quickly, is there anybody out there in teleconference land? Is there Marianne Kerr? Are you still out there? Is there anybody out in teleconference land that was wanting to testify that has not gotten a chance? Thank you. Public testimony is over. Is there is there comments from the committee?
Madam Chair?
Yes. Representative Davis, do you have a...
Are we still on the...
We're
still transmitting. This is Representative David. Thank you, Madam Chairman. It's too bad that we can't be presented with a nice budget that is including a cut, a savings, something we've all been looking for and hoping to find everywhere we go, every corner we turn, we hope to find some savings in the budget. We've been presented with an opportunity for savings. We've heard a lot of testimony against. A lot of it makes us think real hard. There's probably some basic philosophies that individuals have that would indicate that the testimony is all from affected, directly impacted parties. I think we'll find that from every item we try and cut, from the impoverished to even the well off. A lot of senior citizens that probably do not need a longevity bonus are probably on the front lines arguing for no cuts. So it's a tough problem. I think we've been presented with a lot of really good information today, and I think there are some areas that could improve on this bill. I'd like to hear more about the original rationale for submitting this, which my way of thinking is that these cuts will initiate and provide job opportunities which won't reduce, which will allow them to equalize their income. Maybe I'm off on that, but I'd like some discussion on that at a later date. I think that's a real possibility. If we're making reductions in payments from the state, but it's allowing recipients to work and yet not face cuts, and maybe there's some other mechanism for improving it. But I appreciate the discussion, but I'm certainly would not like to see the bill moved until we hash it out a little bit more, if we decide to do that. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Representative Easy, you have a comment?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. It's not a comment. I have an amendment I'd like to propose. We can do it at another work session if you'd rather. Well, what is your pleasure? You want comments or you want an amendment?
May I suggest that we put this aside until we have, can put it back on the agenda. Probably if we can take a brief at ease, we'll put it on the agenda and continue the conversation on it until we can hear Representative Davies' comments and questions answered, and yours also. If you'll hold on, do you have any?
I'm here what they have to say. I have some questions.
Okay.
But if we're going to hold them, I can wait on the interviews.
We're getting back to order. We will hold this House Bill 67 until Thursday, the 25th of February, where we will put it on the agenda again. Thank you very much. If there's no other...
The only question I have, was that the end of public testimony? Period. I mean, when the bill come back, will there
be
further?
That is the end of public testimony. Thank you. That was the end of public testimony on House Bill 67, and we will be hearing testimony from the committee on Thursday, the 25th. Thank you very much.
Did Representative Bray have some questions?
I'm sorry, did you have
a question?
No, we're going to take comments again.
Speaking,
it is closed for public comment. Okay. Thank you. This meeting of the Hess Committee is closed at 4:55. Thank you very much. Thank you.